to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I'm your host, Nico Fisher. Joining me this week, as always, is the one, the only, Randy Darsh.
Hello everybody. We have officially made it to week 12. I guess technically week 13, but regardless, it is rivalry. 14, because we had two buys this year, that's right. So we are officially at Rivalry Week. Tongue twister to say that.
Rivalry Week, right. Yeah. Say that 10 times fast.
I'm excited. It's going to be a very crazy weekend. We just kind of have to buckle in. Thanksgiving. I'm sure most of us have a couple of days off work, so that'll be nice.
Yes. And what's kind of fun, I mean, we'll get to it, but this week's always, like, really interesting because the games are actually spread out quite a bit. We're actually getting like really good games on Friday, and so it's kind of this like a double dipping, if you will, maybe some seconds, yeah, if you may, of good games. So obviously a lot to talk about coming up here, but Randy, we gotta start by recapping a pretty hectic week in college football.
We certainly do. So I guess we'll start with last week's games. Not a whole lot to talk about. We had Oregon taking down USC. So Oregon's at 10-1, one loss in the Big Ten.
They're in.
I mean, Ohio State obviously could lose to Michigan. You don't know what's going to happen there. There's things that can happen. They play at Washington, but they're in the playoffs. I don't know if they're in the Big Ten championship.
Oh, no, game. I'm saying they're in the playoffs at this point, which is what kind of matters. Gotcha.
Even if they lost to Washington, they would likely be in, but that's a big if still.
USC's out, though. Kind of, I'm going to say surprising. I mean, there was a moment there where USC was kind of on a hot streak. I think we both said USC has a good chance in this game. I'm sort of surprised that Oregon dominated as much as they did. But, Lincoln Riley, stinking Lincoln Tebow, still can't get it done. I mean, just real quick, do you think Tebow ever gets USC to the hype that they expected when they hired him?
I think it's certainly possible. They actually have a good defense, solid enough defense this year. They had a great offense. I think it's possible.
Yeah, it's year like four now, though, which is wild, but I guess we'll have to see. Another game that happened that had some playoff implications. I think it's safe to say at this point, Missouri's definitely out. Oklahoma took them down 17-6. Oklahoma, they looked kind of like suspect. They tend to look suspect despite winning. The Sooners are currently ranked number 8 as of this recording. Do you think, it seems like they're probably going to make it. They have one more game at LSU. Do you think Oklahoma can make a run in the playoffs this year?
I don't think so. I mean, they have a defense.
Very good defense.
Games.
Probably one of the best.
They're going to need like top level elite quarterback play. They're going to need to really show that they can get it done in offense. And I don't know if they could do that. Because let's face it, if Oklahoma rematched Alabama, what do you think would happen?
Is that what you want?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be kind of cool. But I mean, I'm just saying in general, like see they skirt by some of these wins and they don't necessarily look the best while doing it. They got blown out by Texas. I mean, granted, we lost to Florida State, but that's.
It happens.
I'm just saying they don't have like the makings of one of those can go on a run teams because you have to have an elite defense combined with an elite offense that plays complementary football.
Yeah,
getting hot both at the right time.
They're not getting hot. They're winning big games, but they don't look hot. If that makes any sense, like they're barely surviving.
Right.
So should be fun to see other games. Randy, what'd you watch this weekend? What's going on?
So I also watched. Let me see. I actually did not get a chance to tune into this one, but I wanted to talk about it. I know you want to talk about it. Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Blew out Illinois, ranked Illinois. This is your second ranked win of the season.
Yeah.
27-10. What did you think of this?
Randy, I will be honest, because I've thought about this a lot. This is going to sound sad, and it kind of is, but that was the most complete and best win for Wisconsin since we hired Luke Fickell, if you can believe it. I know, like, if you look at the stats, like, it's not that crazy. You know, we only had 75 yards passing from our quarterback. But, like, just the game plan was so good. Honestly, folks, it's worth your time to, like, just watch, like, the five-minute highlights of this game. Because somehow Wisconsin has figured it out on offense, of all teams. We're running this really weird, like, quasi-triple option offense right now. I don't know how else to describe it, but like every single play had this like pre-snap motion to it. And all I can say, man, is like what makes this win so brilliant is that we did it in a convincing way with such little talent. If that makes any sense. Like we had our fourth string quarterback go 9 for 11 on throws, which I know he only had 75 yards, but like they knew their strengths and they played to them and avoided all their weaknesses. And to me, that's like pure coaching. It was pure coaching that won this game. And I hate to say it, Randy, but it's giving me hope. Like I've kind of got hope for the future.
It is definitely crazy to see that from a Luke Fickell team after his coaching itself has been criticized so heavily. This is what I've been saying like the whole time where I say he looks like a year one head coach with year one problems in year three.
Yeah.
Where it's like he clearly just had to abandon
everything.
That his offensive philosophy when he tried with Phil Longo, the dairy raid. And you could see that, okay, it's like a new system, new scheme, despite being in year three, so it looks like a year one thing.
Yeah.
And I guess the athletic department was like willing to buy into that and all that stuff. So
yeah.
It's interesting. We'll see how this translates into next year. And I mean, building momentum at the end of the year is very important for the locker room to get recruits. Transfers,
you know, yeah, it gets guys like buying in. Like there's momentum, right? Like there's hope sort of. And I guess like that's all I can hope for at this point, man. Like we're stuck in them for another year, so like might as well win some games while we're at it, you know?
Right. I mean, would beating Minnesota completely salvage the season?
Yes.
Like
that sounds sad, okay. But like straight up, dude, if you had told me a month ago that we would beat Washington and Illinois, and potentially win the X back, I would not have believed you. Like it'd be unfathomable, like even 3 weeks ago at this point.
I have to remember a month ago, you were coming off getting shut out in back-to-back weeks by Iowa and Ohio State.
So tough.
I can definitely understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazier.
Let's see. I know Georgia Tech went down to Pittsburgh. Yeah. Georgia Tech losing two out of the last three is very unfortunate for them. They're probably done. I don't even think they're mathematically able to make the ACC championship game at this point.
And they're going to get destroyed by Georgia. Let's be real. So
they are not mathematically able to make the ACC championship. Just kind of is what it is. I mean, if they beat Georgia 9-2, 10-2, I mean, who knows what will happen? But I mean, that's a huge if. And then even then, you would have to see what happens.
Right. Two teams that I want to talk about, two games that happened at the same time. Texas, number 17, taking down Arkansas, 52-37. And at the same time, number 18, Michigan, taking down Maryland, 45-20. It's unfortunate, but like we have to kind of ask ourselves at this point, Randy, if Texas can beat Texas A&M and Michigan can beat Ohio State, those would be two of the biggest wins of the entire season. Do you think either of these teams can make the playoffs should they win next week?
Michigan, yes. I don't think Michigan is mathematically eliminated from the playoffs or from the Big Ten championship game, excuse me. So I think they would even still have a chance there.
That's true, yeah.
But no, if Michigan beats Ohio State, they would be 10-2 and they would have a win over Ohio State. Like that's
pretty good.
It's going to be a top five win.
Yeah.
I think they're in no matter what happens at that point.
Sure. But Texas, though, they would be a three loss team. I don't think we've ever had a three loss team in this playoff format. Do you think they'd have a shot?
They would have a shot, but they would need certain things to kind of fall their way.
Yeah.
Yeah, like BYU would probably need to lose, I think. I don't know. It's hard to say, but like ending the season with a win over Texas A&M would be massive.
It's huge. We'll get to that game, of course.
I don't know if it would be enough.
Yeah, we'll get to that game coming up here. Just a few more games I want to talk about. Speaking of playoff teams here, Notre Dame, folks. It wasn't even as close, I think, as the score indicated. They beat Syracuse 70-7. It's actually like unreal. They had 35 points in the first quarter. It was 35-0 in the first quarter. Like that, I don't think I've ever seen that in like P5 versus P5. Outrageous.
I definitely think they're also trying to put up style points for the committee.
Well, as they should. Like they're vying for the home, you know, at this point, the home field advantage, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, they're starting off the season 0-2 and just being the laughingstock of college football. They've gone on a casual 9-game winning streak, possible 10 games, and they play at Stanford, and Stanford's not very good.
That'll be an easy win. But no,
if they win, they're more than likely in.
It's super impressive, man. And I know Syracuse is a bad team, but like you look at the stretch, man, they've just been dominating pretty much every opponent they faced, and it's not been a tough schedule particularly. But you know, we talked about this plenty of times, like. Teams that have kind of easier schedules, it can be forgiven if they win convincingly if it was never in question. And when you put up 35 points in the first quarter, man, like, you know, this team has something going for it. I just want to give a quick shout out to Jeremiah Love. Randy, the man had 171 yards and 3 touchdowns. Do you want to guess on how many carries?
Over or under 10?
Under.
I'm going to say 8 carries.
He had 8 carries on the money. He had 8 carries for 171 yards, a 21.4 average.
Jeez.
Jeremiah Love's my Heisman favorite, dude. I mean, I know he's not going to win it. He probably isn't even getting an invite to the Heisman ceremony, but he should be because this man is an absolute beast. He's averaging 7.1 yards per carry throughout this season. Just outrageous. He is Notre Dame's heart and soul. And, dude, we need to bring back running backs. What happened? What's going on? Why is it always quarterbacks that get the love? Where's the Jeremiah Love?
It's the most impactful player in the country award. The quarterback's the one who gets the ball every snap. It makes sense that it's usually quarterback that wins it, but I understand what you're saying. It makes sense.
It's fun. His highlight reel is just a joy to watch. So, yeah, shouts out to Notre Dame. They'll be a fun team to keep an eye on.
We also had BYU take down Cincinnati 26-14. BYU is 10-1, and not just – Jimbo, I'm afraid that they're going to fraud their way into a playoff spot just to get blown out in the first round. Even if they, you know, they play UCF this weekend. Even if they lose the Big 12 championship game again to Texas Tech and have 2 losses to them, I'm afraid.
Sneak in.
I'm afraid they're going to make their way in and just take a spot from somebody who would actually have a chance at doing something. I'm going to be honest.
You're saying like a 2-loss team maybe in the SEC or something, you know, kind of.
Here's the thing: if we beat Auburn, we're in. I'm not even worried about that.
That's true. That's true. But I know what you mean. Like honestly, like BYU is so like clearly fraudulent in a way that, like biases aside, like I think at least you could look at like the Florida State from a few years ago when they had Jordan Travis and say, okay, like that team was at least like very good, even though their quarterback was injured. Right? With BYU this year, it's just like, man, like, who have they played? The one good team they faced, Texas Tech, they got annihilated. You know, like, this is clearly a team that's not going to stand a chance to make a run. So why waste a spot on them? You know, why waste a spot? But I guess we'll see, man. I guess we'll see what happens next week in the Big 12 Championship.
Very much so. So let's go ahead and dish out this was their Super Bowl award. I'm going to give mine to, I had two good options here, but I think I'm going to give it to Texas for taking it down Arkansas 52-37.
Come on, man, you can't
be that happy about that win.
I think they were though. Dude, Texas fans, like, they're one of those fan bases that like is always ecstatic even when like it looks kind of sus. You know what I mean?
That was not the best looking win, all things considered. And I mean, Arch Manning, 18-30, 400 yards, 4 touchdowns against a pretty bad defense.
They run it up against bad teams. Yeah, yeah, that's what Texas
does. You ran up the score a little bit. I mean, it was close to the half, but they're going to think Arch Manning is kind of, you know, turning the corner. I don't know.
No, that's a fair one. I'm going to give up my, this was their Super Bowl award, to Penn State. They defeated Nebraska 37-10. A very convincing win over a team that was 7-3 heading into the game. Or 7-4, rather, I apologize. Here's the thing, dude. Why I say it's their Super Bowl. They can now live, like, guilt-free with a clean conscience that it's okay that they couldn't get Matt Rhule. Right? They just annihilated him, like, with their own team. Like, they really are probably better off without him. Even if they end up, like, just sticking with their interim guy for another year or two. Right? Like, they dodged a bullet avoiding like signing some massive like, you know, deal, like 10-year deal to Matt Rhule, when like clearly it's still Matt Rhule, dude. Like all the criticism was justified of him.
Right. No, I completely get what you're saying. As far as the Elephant in the Room award, I have to now give it to Lane Kiffin.
Oh yeah.
Because
let's talk about this.
with the media circus we're seeing now, it's actually starting to look like, okay, he probably may leave.
Yeah, no. Didn't Josh Pate, by the time this is out, I know it's going to be probably confirmed. Didn't like Josh Pate have some cryptic tweet saying like, I know that where Lane Kiffin's heading next year. Oh my goodness. Or something dumb like that. Like,
I did not even see that. I wouldn't be surprised Josh if Pate. He has insider knowledge. He knows. He has some sources.
The thing is, I'm sure people know, right? Like it feels like someone has to know.
LSU offered it some monster contract where they're going to, I think it's like $25 million a year just on roster is promised to him or something like that. Something crazy.
Insane. Well, it seems like LSU is the spot, right? Like, that's the likely, the place he's ending up at this point. Right? Is that where we're
at? Still Yeah. It looks like it's going to be
not
LSU.
Not Florida, because Florida's like the other one, right? Florida, it seems like, it wouldn't surprise me if they're like high-key in like a bidding war right now behind the scenes. And like, that's what's taking so long at this point, you know?
I wonder who Florida's going to end up with at this point, but like,
yeah, who's left?
Who's left? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
I think if I had to call my shot, I still think Lane to LSU. It makes too much sense. That's going to be a fun thing to talk about when it happens. It's comedic looking at LSU, which we didn't talk about, but they barely survived Western Kentucky 13-10. I don't know. It's just like,
yeah, I saw that.
It's just funny. Like what happened, man? And I say what happened because like my fear for Lane is like, man, he's had so much success at Ole Miss. Like we kind of take for granted, man, but like Ole Miss historically is not a great SEC program. Like you never really think of them as like a top five program in the conference, but like he's turned them into this playoff team, like this legitimately great football team. And you look at LSU and how they've kind of just like struggled over the last few coaching hires, like Coach O, I know he went a natty, but like he faded out, right? You look at what Brian Kelly did or didn't do rather. I'm afraid for Lane Kiffin, even if it's not LSU, regardless of where he goes, I'm just afraid he's going to end up somewhere where he's just not having that same level of success and it ends up kind of tarnishing his career.
Right, because LSU's not going to have the patience for him to do what he needs to do to build it up. And I mean, like, I know it's LSU, they have a lot of resources, but the playing field is so evened out now. Yeah. You can't just get him and expect him to immediately have them turn into a playoff contender. I mean, it's certainly possible, but it's such high expectations, and he has a good thing going at Ole Miss now. It just, again, that's why it surprises me.
Yeah, it's really a bummer. Like, I like it when good coaches stay at maybe not necessarily good programs, but make them great, right? Like that's kind of, it makes the game a lot more interesting just having the same couple of teams like LSU winning it every year. So,
I mean, that's why I kind of like Cignetti at Indiana of all places. Like he's turning a hapless program into something good. No, Ole Miss was not nearly as hapless as Indiana, but they're still, you know, a program that had room to improve.
Yeah. And now they've improved. So for their sake, hope they can keep it up. Randy, should we move on to next week? Rivalry week, folks. Lots of games to talk about here as we're eating up leftover turkey. Should we just go in chronological order? Probably starting off, I guess, Thursday night.
Yes, Thursday night.
Because this has maybe implications? Well,
maybe implications.
We'll see.
We have the Navy taking on Memphis. Navy is 8-2, 6-1 in the American. Memphis is 8-3, 4-3 in the American. Memphis is more than likely eliminated.
No, they're done.
I mean, they're done. They don't have a mathematical chance to get into the American championship. Navy is at 6-1. They very much do have a good chance, and they still play Army. It's very interesting. Tulane and North Texas are tied with Navy for first in the conference. So it's going to be interesting. I haven't quite looked up exactly how the math is going to work out on this.
Yeah.
But I think North Texas, like I looked at the tiebreaker a little bit, and it's actually slightly different than how the SEC, ACC, Big Ten tiebreaker is whenever you have multiple one-loss teams. And it's based off like this aggregate of like four different polls.
Oh God, okay.
That's how they're ranked. Of which North Texas is the lead in all of them, and Tulane is second in all of them. So it looks like if there's 3 1-loss teams, it's going to be Tulane and North Texas. That's kind of what we're looking at. I don't know when the selection show is after the Army-Navy game, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, is it? I didn't think, because I always assumed it was after the conference championships, which is actually the week before the Army-Navy game. That would be weird, wouldn't it? Like, if Navy somehow, like, wins the AAC and, like, gets in, but, like, still has to play Navy. You know what I mean? Like, not that this is likely to happen, but, like, mathematically, I think it's still possible.
Okay, so the final selection show is on December 7th, and the Army-Navy game is on the 13th. Okay, yeah, so that go. Is
yeah, kind of
very weird. I wonder how they're going to... Because it looks like the game is the week after the conference championship week game. So I guess they treat the Army-Navy game as basically an exhibition.
Seems like it, yeah. I mean, again, pretty unlikely. All it's going to take is North Texas and Tulane winning, and we're not going to have this conversation. But
That's a huge if, though, man. I mean,
think so. I don't know. Tulane, for what it's worth, Tulane plays. No offense to Hashgram 132, shouts out. They play Charlotte. They're gonna win that game. North Texas is a more interesting scenario in my mind. They play against Temple. Temple is 5-6 right now, so like Temple has a lot to play for, man. Like for bowl eligibility, could be a fun one. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, this is going to be very interesting. I mean, this could all be for nothing if James Madison.
That's true. Business. But if they lose, it's like then what? You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot that could still happen here in the next couple of weeks. So
there certainly is. I can't remember if James Madison is the top ranked Group of Five team. Let me look up the CFP real quick. This all could be for nothing.
This could be.
And we also don't know how the selection committee is going to handle how much they're going to weight the championship game for the American Athletic Conference versus right. James Madison's being in the Sun Belt.
Right. I would weigh it more, you know what I mean? Because they're probably playing better competition. But, yeah.
It is Tulane that is ranked the highest out of all the Group of Five teams right now at 24th. And the others aren't even ranked.
Yeah. It's so weird because considering North Texas has the lead against them in the AAC, and James Madison, right. I think, like, is considered, like, by a lot of people to be just kind of, like, the better team. Who knows?
That's the thing, is like, no matter what, if North Texas beats Tulane, that win's going to propel them above James Madison, even if they're below them now, theoretically.
That's true. Let's keep it moving then. Bring it over to the SEC to one of my, like, honestly, high key, one of my favorite rivalry games every year. The Egg Bowl, folks. Ole Miss playing Mississippi State. This year, it's so weird this year with all the Lane Kiffin drama going on. This being in Starkville, like, looking at the spread right now, not that I care too much about Vegas, but Ole Miss is only favored by 6.5 points right now. Do you think Mississippi State has a chance at 5-6 of taking down their rival and potentially squandering their playoff hopes?
They absolutely have a chance. And you know, they want to more than anything in the world. I would not at all be surprised if Mississippi State wins this game. I just wonder how focused Ole Miss is even going to be. It's because like tough. The longer the shenanigans, you know, plays out, the longer this team is going to have a chance to be distracted.
Yeah. Like if today Ole Miss announced they were signing a 5-year extension and Lane Kiffin's committed, like I think that would motivate this team to an unbelievable amount. Like they would be favored in a lot of ways to like make a huge playoff run. But like, as it stands, dude, I can't even blame the kids for being distracted. Like where the heck is your coach going to be 2 weeks from now? You know?
Right, it is crazy because this is the first time Lane Kiffin has been this late this season had a real chance for a playoff run with a team that could probably do something in the playoffs, and they're just not. For him to want to bail and to have this media surface right at this time, right when he's finally accomplishing the thing that
he's got,
he'll be able to accomplish.
It's crazy. Weird. So weird. That'll be a fun one, though.
It will be a fun one. At 2:30, we have Georgia at Georgia Tech. Technically, it's a home game for Georgia Tech, even though it's in Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
Ah, man, I want Georgia Tech to win it, but I just...
No, like we said before, it's a bummer because, like, Georgia Tech for, like, about the first two-thirds of the season was looking like this kind of Cinderella team, but in the last three games, they've lost against NC State and Pitt. And pretty badly, too. It wasn't even, like, fluke losses. You know what I mean? It didn't, like, come down with, like, a last play or something. And so... Like, the thing about Georgia is, like, Georgia can look kind of sus at times. Like, historically, they've kind of struggled every now and then. We saw it this year against Florida, to an extent against Auburn, and even last week, dude, against Charlotte. They only beat Charlotte, one of the worst teams in football, 35-3. And so it's not like
Georgia's...
Georgia is, like, necessarily, you know, guaranteed to win by 50 points or something. But, like, I just get the sense that for Georgia Tech, like, they know they're out. I know it's a rivalry game, so there's a lot to play for, but like that locker room has to be so deflated at this point. Like I just can't imagine them turning around in 1 week.
I think they just ran out of gas.
Yeah.
I really think that's what it boils down to more than anything. It's not even about individual motivation. They've just ran out of gas. It's a slog to get through the season, especially this late.
And they're a physical
team.
That
second gear.
Yeah. Right. King's King, right? Like their style of play, like it just must be so wearing and tearing on the body. Their quarterback is their leading rusher. Like it's just it's weird.
Even
like that,
regardless of style of play, you have to know how to pace yourself throughout the season and know how to be able to shift into that second gear when the time comes. And I don't think they're experienced enough in doing that to know how to do
it. Next year.
Well, Georgia lives in that.
Yeah, they're always locked in that regard. So I think Georgia takes home the prize in this one.
Also on Friday night, we have Texas A&M at Texas.
Be a fun one, dude.
Texas has a big chance to do something huge here. I mean, they can't knock Texas A&M out of the playoffs, but it would be a huge win for Texas, and it could potentially have them back into the conversation. I don't think motivation is at all a factor.
No, not for either team, I don't think.
Not for either team. Even A&M knowing that they're a lock, like they know that this is going to be a huge quote unquote test for them, and they need to show up and keep the momentum going.
This is going
to
be.
But I think, I think A&M is too focused. Like they actually have impressed me a little bit with how they've played. They seem to know how to continue to stay hot. They've done a good job, all things considered.
Yeah.
So I do think A&M wins this game. I don't know what you thought.
No, if I had to pick, I kind of lean Texas, to be honest, only because for as good as A&M is, like we have to concede, they are a good team. There's always just kind of been this, you know, feeling that they've had an easy schedule. They've barely survived against a lot of teams. If you recall a couple weeks ago against South Carolina, where they escaped just barely. Texas, for all their flaws, for as much as Arch Manning is overrated, Texas has tons of talent. And I think if Texas plays to their full potential, I think they can beat A&M soundly. And this being a night game at home for Texas with everything on the line, I think they're going to come out swinging. I think the Longhorns are going to win by at least a few touchdowns. Like I don't think it's going to be that close, to be honest.
You know what's crazy to me is Texas has a 51.5% win chance, according to the ESPN matchup predictor, which is absolutely insane to me.
Against an undefeated team, But you look at A&M and their body of work, and it's just like they haven't played anyone as good as Texas yet, which is weird because Texas isn't even that good, right? Like compared to like Georgia or something, right? But it's just kind of where we're at right now.
It is so hard to get a true read on this game.
It is. It'll be fun.
Oh, man.
It'll be fun, though.
It'll be fun. Definitely going to tune in. It's Friday night. Perfect time for a college football game.
I can't wait.
Saturday. Moving on to Saturday morning at 11 a.m. This game is always at 11 a.m. Yep, this game is always blistering cold, it seems like. And it always has, like, snow flurries.
Yep.
Ohio State at Michigan.
The game.
What do you think, Jimbo?
This is, again, you talk about fun ones. Like, it's weird. Like, Michigan, I don't think anyone thought they'd be in this position a couple months ago, but... Dude, obviously Ohio State's the better team. No question about that. Ohio State, I think they've certainly earned their ranking of number one in the country. But, like, there's something about this game every year that just, like, causes the Buckeyes to play terribly. I don't know what it is, man. Like, Michigan has their number at this point. And this being at Michigan, too, a very, very, very motivated Michigan, I think the Wolverines win this one, to be honest.
I'm going to give my lock of the week on this one, is I do think Ohio State takes down Michigan.
Really? They're going to end the streak? The losing streak? Why is that?
They're going to end the streak. I think they get the monkey off their back. I just have a feeling about it. Ohio State looks focused. They look locked in.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've kind of learned from some of these mistakes in the past few years, and they're going to know what to do. And it's just, I don't even know what it would mean for their program necessarily if they lost to Michigan again, but it would be super frustrating for them. Like, I think... They always care a lot about the game, but I think they've circled it a bit more this year, if that makes sense.
If they lose, I can already see the copium of, well, we lost it last year and still won the national championship. Like, you know, there's going to be so much, like, dumb, like, thanks, Michigan, now we're winning it all. Like, dude, come on. But you can see it. You can see it happening.
At 11 a.m., we also have Clemson 6-5 at South Carolina 4-7.
Wow.
I feel like both these teams are very motivated to win this game for basically the same reason. They almost want to like prove that they're not as bad as people think they are.
Yeah, both programs, that's true. Dude, it's so weird. This game used to be like a couple years ago, like this is pretty much always a ranked team against another ranked team. You know what I mean? Maybe not playoff implications, but like it's crazy that both these programs have fallen off so quickly. I kind of like South Carolina in this one. I hate to say it as, you know, a big SEC hater, but like you look at South Carolina, dude, they've lost so many close games this year. Again, I'm looking back at that Texas A&M game. You think about when they faced you guys earlier in the season, right? They had a shot there near the end. Like, I think South Carolina certainly has a higher potential than Clemson does this year. So I'm still rooting for Lenora Sellers. Glasses pride. You know what I mean? I like the Gamecocks in this one.
I actually do like South Carolina in this as well. They have split the last four in the series 2-2. So it's been even the past half decade. It's interesting.
Should be fun.
We also have, let's see, I'm going through all the matchups. I have it
There's a
on
lot of good
all
ones today.
FBS.
A lot of good ones.
Yeah, there are. We have Oregon 10-1 at Washington 8-3. Do you think Washington can expose Oregon?
Having seen them in person now, no. Dude, Washington, like
No.
we beat them. I mean, Wisconsin's improving, but that was like the ugliest game I've ever seen. Washington just like I don't know, man. You look at you can kind of like look back in hindsight now and look at Washington. They have had a really easy schedule this year. Like I get that they're 8-3, but like their best win was against Illinois. Who cares? We've done that, you know. I think Oregon takes care of business here.
Fair enough. At 2:30, we also have 7-4 LSU at 9-2 Oklahoma. You think LSU can pull off the upset?
Randy, you tell me. You're the expert. You've faced both these teams this year. Do you think I think Oklahoma's gonna win, but I'd be curious your
I
thoughts on
think
this one.
Oklahoma's going to win. As much as I think Oklahoma is very beatable,
Yeah. Oh,
I don't think
definitely.
LSU would be the team to do it. I think LSU is kind of just ready to pack it in, go off
Yeah.
next year.
Especially after last week, dude, against Western Kentucky. Like, come on. Like, let's go to Cancun already, you know?
Right. Yeah, they're ready to go to Cancun. At 2:30, we also have 9-2, number 14 Vanderbilt, still fighting for a playoff
Yes, they
spot
are.
at 8-3 Tennessee. I definitely have Vanderbilt winning this game.
Yeah, I think so too. I think being at Tennessee is gonna be tough. But dude, like this is gonna be one of those fun games, I think, that you kind of tune back to as it goes on. And look at the spread here, man. Tennessee is only favored right now by 2.5 points. So it seems like a pretty evenly split matchup here. Do you think if Vanderbilt can win this, and I know they might need a little bit of help, do you think Vanderbilt has earned the right to be in the playoff should they go 10-2?
Honestly, yes. 10-2 in a power conference should be enough to get you into the playoffs pretty much any year, in my opinion. They'll have wins over Missouri, LSU. I know it's LSU at this point. They've blown out a lot of okay-ish teams. I know they lost to Texas, they lost to Alabama, but you just they've looked good enough to earn themselves into the playoffs.
They've got heart. Diego Pavia is like the most, he's got the most heart of any quarterback, I feel like, in the country this year. And
For
it'd be
better
a
or
fun
worse, yeah.
story. It'd be really cool to see Vanderbilt in the playoffs. So I'm definitely rooting for them here against Tennessee.
Yeah, and they like legitimately would have made the playoffs. Like that's just insane. We don't know what's gonna happen as far as his eligibility for next year, so we'll see how that shakes
It's like
out.
tw he's like our age, dude.
Yeah, yeah. He
Yeah.
could rent a car.
He could.
We also at 2:30 we have Wisconsin at 6-5 Minnesota.
Folks.
Jimbo, do you think it happens?
I hope you're ready for the lock of the week.
Ooh.
My Badgers are coming home with the axe. Dude, Minnesota. You want to talk about like two programs kind of going in different directions right now. Wisconsin, we know how bad we were, but we're trending upward. Minnesota, they've lost three of their last four. They had a pitiful display against Northwestern last week. Dude, this, I'm telling you now, dog, like Wisconsin is going to be more motivated for this game than any game you've seen all season. I've got a good feeling about this one. I think we win. Maybe not by a lot, but I think we win convincingly.
I tend to agree for the exact reasons you stated. If you looked at Minnesota's schedule, they've
No one.
really barely escaped against
No
some
one.
really bad
And
teams.
they've got compared to
Three.
comparable matchups. Dude, like they played Ohio State and Oregon, two teams we played. They lost by a lot more than us. Like we put up a fight
That
against
is
Oregon, they did not.
true.
Like think about it. I'm just saying, man. Like they
Okay,
barely
I'm just
survived
looking at their
Purdue.
wins. They barely survived Michigan State, a 3-8 team. They barely survived Rutgers, a 5-win team. They barely survived Purdue, a 2-win team.
Their best win
They
is against
did beat
Nebraska.
Nebraska, but I mean, it's
And
Nebraska. Like,
Nebraska's been
it's
exposed at this
Nebraska.
point. Yeah. So like I dude, like come on. Like we can win this game and we should win this game. Just for the sake of the program, we need to win this game.
And all of their losses are just really bad losses
Ugly.
by multiple scores, ugly losses.
Not even
Like even
close.
Northwestern was their closest loss, but it was still ugly. It's 38-35.
They let them score a lot. And so it gives me hope too, because like our defense is kind of legit this year. At this point, like our defense is playing quite well. And if Minnesota's allowing 38 points, 42 points, 41 points, 40, like all these teams to put up this many touchdowns against them, I like our chances, man. I really do.
Fair enough. We have Wake Forest 8-3 at Duke 6-5. I think Duke is mathematically eliminated at this point from the SEC championship.
6-5.
I remember
five,
I was talking
Duke?
About them.
They can't make the playoffs. What the heck?
Well, I meant the ACC championship game. Because that was a thing that was talked about. I just wanted to bring it up for that reason. It looks like it's going to be between, let's see, Virginia, Pitt, SMU.
It's wide open at this point. It's very wide open. I don't know if we can even take a stab at who it might be at this point. I can tell you it's not going to be anyone good. Like, I'm confident in that. But
I'm now wondering if the ACC champion, no matter who it is, would even get in over both of the Americans.
Are
both the American and the Sun Belt winners. Like, it might be James Madison and Tulane/North Texas.
Like, if I had to pick between Virginia and James Madison, James Madison is the better team. Like, I'm sorry, but like, it's dude, Virginia. Like, what are we doing? What are we? Who is their biggest?
I tend to agree. Florida State.
Come on, yeah. Hey, not every
can beat them, right?
But you know what I mean? Like, there's no one, dude.
We are staring down the barrel of no ACC team making the college football playoff, which would be insane. I mean, Miami might could make it as an at-large.
Yeah, but if they lose, it's just... we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Actually, let's talk about it, because we skipped it, actually. Miami versus Pitt. This has huge potential ACC championship playoff implications here, because Pitt is currently the number 2 team in the ACC standings with only one conference loss. Miami has 2 conference losses, and so, like, if Pitt wins, dude, it's like Pitt's, I think, guaranteed to be in the conference championship at that point. Pitt in the playoffs? No, like, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. Does it?
It doesn't feel right.
Me.
I know what you mean. I mean, Pitt is a good team, good but not great team, but I think good, not great is not who should be in the playoffs.
They'd be a 9-3 team. I guess 10-3 if they win the ACC, but, like, a 3-loss team, dude. They got clobbered by Notre Dame a couple weeks ago. Man, what a sad state of affairs in the ACC right now.
That's the thing. For, like, these 2- and 3-loss teams, like, all I really expect to see from them is just the ability to beat or stay in the game with really top 10 teams. And if you haven't shown that you can do that,
you're not going to do well in the playoffs. Like, let's just face it.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh.
We have Florida State 5-6 at Florida 3-8.
God. Dude.
This is gonna be an entertainment. This is gonna be the sicko game of the week.
I was gonna say this is gonna be one of the fun games to, like, just kind of, like, keep an eye on, right? Like, it's sicko is a good way to put it. Like, it's so funny, dude. Florida State 5-6, Florida 3-8. Good lord! And yet it feels so evenly matched in a way, because Florida, you know, it's weird. Like, Florida, they've had just an absolute gauntlet of a schedule this year, right? They played so many good teams. You get a sense that Florida is certainly way better than the record. And Florida State, for as miserable as they are, like, I don't know, they somehow beat Bama. Like, they've got potential, maybe. Who do you think wins this one, Randy?
I want to say Florida, but I have a weird feeling Florida State could pull this out.
It's at Florida, for what it's worth.
It is at Florida. It's weird that we're, like, looking at Florida State for as bad as they are. They are this win away from making a bowl game, which is not necessarily a great season, especially after the hopes they had after the Bama game, but it's, you know, could be a lot worse.
Could be worse. I think Florida wins this one because, again, like I was saying, dude, like, Florida, they've just had such a tough year, man. And they've come close, man. They almost beat Georgia, if you recall. Not that long ago, they put up a really good fight at Ole Miss. So, like, they've got the potential, man. I think they can close out the season on a high note here.
Yeah, they definitely have the opportunity to. So that'll be a fun one to keep an eye on. We have the Iron Bowl,
Randy,
at 6:30, Alabama at Auburn. Dude, I don't even want to. There's nothing. There's nothing I can say about this game that would have any relevance to the game. Like,
yeah.
A spaceship could show up in midfield during halftime, and everybody would be like, "Well, of course."
Oh, come on, dude. Auburn, like, let's be real though. Okay, Auburn's really bad this year. Can we agree on that?
That doesn't even matter. They have a solid front, very, very good front seven, amazing defense. They're 5-6. So it's not like they're totally terrible as much as we laugh at them. I mean, 5-6, they're one win away from a bowl game.
Randy,
you're
trying so hard.
They have all the makings of an Auburn team that could beat us with that defense, especially. If they can get just enough stops from us on offense, like we play so close to the edge with our games, with how close all of them are.
Mm-hmm. Just inherently. Yeah.
Even when we clearly look like the better team, they're still technically close games on paper. Yeah. Like they could flip some things. We're going to have to play a great game, and we're going to have very little room for error, and they're going to know how to create error.
Oh, man. It is weird, like, just given, like, that Bama's a top 10 team right now and Auburn's 5-6, that Bama's only favored by a touchdown, which feels about right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do think Bama wins this one, but, yeah, I think it'll be probably, like, a Jordan hair too close for comfort, if you will.
I just I cannot emotionally handle some game where we had to like have a 31 yard fourth down play or a 97 yard game winning drive or a game tying drive to finally send it to overtime after having no offense the entire rest of the night, having only 3 points the rest of the night. You know, I just can't handle it, man.
But how do we think Bama wins? Is like, what's the weirdest thing? Like, I could see like a game winning safety kind of a thing at this point.
A game-winning safety. Like tied, honestly.
You know what I mean? And then, like, Bama sacks them. I don't know.
Our defense being the ones to get a game-winning score, I could actually see that being the weird way this game ends.
Actually, I'm going to call that now. Let's call it a second lock of the week. Bama wins off of a defensive play. Quote me on it.
I mean, that wouldn't even be that weird for our team.
That's how they're doing.
How they play. But it would be the ultimate weird way for the Iron Bowl to be won.
Like a pick six or something. Like Auburn has like the chance for the go ahead and they throw a pick six. I could see that. Calling it out, folks. Calling it out. It'll be fun for you, dude. It'll be stressful in the moment, but like you'll be able to look back like, you know, like a week later and be like, oh man, that was an amazing highlight in the fourth quarter, right?
I just remember in the, it was the 2023 game. In between the third and fourth down play, we knew it was about to be fourth and 31. Yep. My dad called my uncle and they were talking about the price of Sugar Bowl tickets.
Oh my God.
Before the play. And I was like, okay. And I remember you messaged me like saying, how does it feel knowing you've won? And I was like, you're trolling me, dude. Just like, shut up. Like, come on.
It's true.
You were right.
I'll be messaging you during this game when like I'm ready for the pick six to happen. Okay.
Every now and then, we have like in Gump Cord, in Alabama's football Discord, we have a timestamp to like RCFB's Discord where we like to just go look back at the moment of when it happened just to see everybody's reaction. Yeah. It feels good.
I imagine. Any other games, Randy? Big games coming up.
We have North Carolina 4-7 at NC State.
Okay.
Do you think Belichick is gone after this year?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Honestly, part of me wants to say yes, but part of me is like, I feel like North Carolina, like the university, the AD, like they don't really care about football in the sense that like, I don't think they really care if they're winning or losing necessarily. I think they care about money, certainly, right? They certainly want like fans buying tickets and beer being sold and stuff. But like Bill Belichick, I think he's going to get people in the door regardless of if they win or not. It's certainly more than any like no-name coach they would hire to replace him, right? So like honestly, like I don't even know if like winning or losing this game matters. Like I think Bill's probably going to be there for just about as long as he wants, just given North Carolina and how little they care about success. It's kind of like Colorado and Dion, right? At a certain point, it's like these schools want just the publicity. Winning or losing is kind of second to that.
Now, I 100% see that, and I also think Belichick's too stubborn to leave on his own terms, no matter how bad they do.
Yeah, he'd have to be fired.
Way too stubborn. Like, you see the clips of him in the media now. Like, he was at an adult cheerleading event because his 24-year-old girlfriend is an adult cheerleader or something.
Dude,
and he's just this man in his 70s.
It's hard to watch.
Dude, it's weird. It's weird. Really yeah, hard it's hard to watch.
And, like, you think about North Carolina, like... I'm going to talk some crap for a sec here, Randy. There are certain fan bases in this college football landscape that are just susceptible to this kind of stuff. It's teams like North Carolina, like Colorado, that like within our lifetime haven't really had much success. And I think they're just like kind of happy to be like feeling popular, like feeling important. You know what I mean? And I don't think they pass that up. For as long as he's willing to stay there and like have, you know, 4-8 seasons, I think they're going to keep him.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Like, at a certain point, it's just better to have eyeballs on you. It means you have the potential to maybe be better.
Yeah. Sad, folks. As I'm just kind of like glancing over this, there are just like only a couple more games I want to touch base on. If you want to talk about a Sicko Bowl, another alternative, folks, at 5:30 p.m. Central Time, if you tune into the CW network, you can watch a rematch of the Pac-12 championship as Washington State plays Oregon State for the second time this season. Washington State barely beat... Washington State lost to Oregon State 10-7 earlier in the year. It was a real, again, very Sicko-type game. Randy, do you think this has the potential to be an entertaining game to kind of have on a second screen at some point in the fourth quarter?
I don't even think
not
so.
Not even that? Not giving us that?
No. I mean, they've literally already played, and it's not like they played at the beginning of the season or played again. They're playing... Why are they playing twice?
Dude, it's so sad. It's like, yeah, why are they playing? And, well, for what it's worth, Washington State technically can be bowl eligible if they beat Oregon State. But yeah, like... I joked earlier, but like, is this the Pac-12 championship? Like, which one is which? Because like, if Washington State wins, then they just like trade victories. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know if they're gonna have. Surely, there's.
Do they play again next week? Like, you know what I mean?
They're gonna call. They're, yeah, surely they're not gonna be that sad when they have an actual conference championship game. Surely,
oh my
not.
God.
Surely not.
It's so sad, dude. It's so sad. And like, every now and then you'll like. You'll like stumble upon like a Reddit thread or something with like a Washington State or Oregon State fan, and like, dude, we talk about like little brother type stuff a lot in college football as like an insult, but like this is like another level of little brother. Like, imagine being in Oregon State or a Washington, like your rival programs left their conference, and like Washington played in the national championship a couple years ago. Oregon is like, they won the Big Ten last year. They're probably going to make the playoffs this year. Like, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine the hell they're going through at this point.
Yeah. Hopefully they have greener pastures ahead of them with the new Pac-12 forming.
That's true. I guess
hopefully.
We'll see. Yeah. And honestly, like, dude, with ACC being so down, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like the door is very wide open at this point for, like, a G5 conference to like kind of step it up and fill in some of these gaps. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Especially with the playoff format being what it is, you know, top five conference.
Yeah. If the ACC,
top five,
the ACC, dude, they're like getting demoted. Like, they're borderline G5 territory at this point. Like seriously,
yeah,
like,
the ACC took a huge step back. Like, I remember middle of the year, we were talking about them as if they had a chance to really step it up, and they just
completely
collapsed as a conference.
Completely blew it, dude. Like, there's no one program you can look at right now and say, yep, they're holding down the fort. Like, Clemson, it's done. Miami,
right. They
can't figure it out. Florida State, they're going to get a new coach next year. Like, it's
right. It's
rebuilding for so many of these teams, and like,
and it's not as if the Big 12 has really stepped up. I mean, the Big 12 has Texas Tech, which is a legitimate program.
But, like, all
but
it
other
takes
than
is
that,
Texas Tech having a down year, right? Like, all it takes is, like, oh, like these these one or two teams in the Big 12 we kind of look up to, like, falling off. And then, like, suddenly, like, oh, wow, Tulane's 12-0. Let's put them in over, you know, 10-2 BYU, right? Like,
right.
I think there's a serious argument to be made at this point that, like, G5 teams, like, it's only a matter of time before we get two. In the playoffs. Like, it's only a matter of time before we get a James Madison and a Tulane, right?
Especially considering, like, this new Pac-12 with the Mountain West editions
I
mean...
It could be legit.
Yeah, it's going to be about... I mean, you're going to have three, maybe four conferences with the American being better now, seeming to be better.
Yeah.
You're going to have about four conferences in that kind of middle tier. Where you're going to have, like, Power 2, Middle 4,
and then like, Sunbelt, MAC. Yeah, kind of a
the
thing.
Group of the rest. Which is, yeah, Sunbelt, MAC, CUSA.
Yeah. No, it's. I mean, it's. It seems inevitable, and in a weird way, like, it sounds kind of fun, like having a more robust.
It does. I know. I agree so much, dude. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's actually going to be fun to see these three conferences fighting for those last three spots.
Yeah.
Just to see who's going to get it.
Yeah. There it is, folks. Any other games, Randy? Before we wrap it up here.
That is all I have on my mind.
All right. Well, folks, I hope you all have a really good Thanksgiving. I hope you all have a great weekend. A good. Rivalry week, they say, and I hope Randy, for the sake of all of us, this is a great weekend of college football. Until then, folks, thank you all for listening. And as always, high tide.